to us. So that's the additional announcement, and now I have a little story for you. And this is very fitting because I had one of these children, and it's a story about two little boys, 8 and 10, who are always getting into trouble. And when anything happened, you know, my son always would admit he did it. It didn't matter if he did or not, but he knew, you know, mostly he'd get blamed, so he might as well take the blame. So the boy's mother found a clergyman in town who supposedly was very good at disciplining children. And so she sent the two boys there to see him, and the youngest one got to go in first. And the clergyman was a huge man with a very booming voice. Gruff said, "Where is God?" And the little boy just sat there with his mouth hanging open. He didn't know what to say. And so the clergyman figured maybe he didn't hear him, I guess. And he raised his voice, and he said the second time, "Where is God?" Still no answer. Well, the third time, the clergyman was really booming, and the boy jumped out of his chair and ran home and hid in the closet. And his brother came home, and he said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, God's disappeared, and they think we did it." God's disappeared, and they think we... You know, we've all had kids that have had a few challenges. So my talk today, as many of you know, as Reverend Dawn announced to everyone a couple weeks ago, I had open heart surgery for the second time in December. And I have to tell you, it was not something that I was anticipating or looking forward to. But when the doctor told me what the alternatives were, I decided, sign me up. You know, I'm going to go. So... Now, the first surgery I had in 2005, so I had a little idea of what was coming up, and you know what he said to me is, "We do these every day, right?" And when I said, "Yes, but you don't do them to me every day," and I wasn't really anticipating it. Now, I can tell you, the first time, I kept it pretty quiet, and I didn't share the emotions or anything that I was going through on the whole with my colleagues, but... This second time, I did things a little differently. And so I had 800 or so people who were praying for me. And they put it out on the minister's listserv and the practitioners here at the center, and many of the congregants were all supporting me in prayer. And what I want to share with you is that prayer works. Prayer really works, because I have to tell you that in the surgery, I imagine I wasn't awake, so I really don't know what happened there. But what I do know is the recovery was so much easier. And I know it's because of the prayer support that I received. So, and here's the truth. You know, oftentimes we beat ourselves up because we think that we should be able to heal ourselves, don't we? I should be able to heal this. After all, I'm a minister now, and I should be just able to go into prayer and have this fix itself. And you know, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true, but I hadn't reached that point. But what I do know is I was healed. I mean, I'm standing here today. 50 years ago, that would not have happened. So what I'm saying is I truly was healed. The prayers did work. The doctor's hand was guided. I moved through that experience with ease and with grace. And those medical advancements, those miracles come from God. Isn't it true that God's working miracles through others? And I know that some folks do not believe in allopathic medicine. They believe in hands-on healing. They believe in herbs. They believe in other things. But they don't believe in allopathic medicine. But I have to tell you that my consciousness, my personal consciousness, is not high enough that I can set a broken bone. And I'm guessing that's true for many of the people here, that we are not at that point that Jesus was, where we can actually set the broken bones, but we are at that point in our consciousness where we can accept our good from someone else, can't we? We can accept the good, we can accept the wisdom, we can accept the knowledge, we can accept God moving through those practitioners who work on us. And I have a little friend, and her name is Alana, and Alana's 11 years old. And Alana has several genetic illnesses, diseases. Now, I know that we say in this philosophy that we create our own illness. But I have to say, when I see children with cleft palates and club feet and different deformities and leukemia, I don't believe that that is always the case. I think sometimes what our job here to do is to learn to deal with the cards that were dealt, to learn to make the most of those opportunities that present themselves and to find the good within everything. Now, I don't know how Alana and I became friends. I know her stepfather, and I met her a couple of times, and she has an IV port, and she has a feeding tube, and she wears oxygen 24/7. And she is one of the friendliest and happiest little girls when she, and I'm sure she isn't all the time, but I remember she went to Cincinnati Children's Hospital and they sent me texts about what was going on. And when it was time for me to go in the hospital, she had her mother send me a text. And the first thing she said was, ask for the anesthetic that smells like root beer because it's the best. And then she said, if you're there for the Christmas party, hospitals really have good ones. You should go. I think she's 11 years old. How does she know this? And lastly, she said to me, try to be a big girl. And I tried. And I wasn't always successful. Now, I did pretty good the first week I was in the hospital, and they let me go home. But then I had to come back. And I got to spend Christmas Day in the hospital, and I wasn't a very big girl about that, I can tell you. And I can't complain about the treatment I received because everyone, well, maybe the lady that took my pie back because she said it wasn't on my diet, everyone else treated me really well. And I'm talking about the people from the kitchen, the janitor, the nurses. The gift in this is all of these people showed such compassion and such kindness and such love. It just amazes me. It amazes me that the love that these people can share with you. And you know, Christmas Day was kind of hard for me, because I wanted to go home. You know, it didn't matter that my family came to visit me because they were going to go home and have Christmas dinner. And it didn't matter that they served a wonderful prime rib dinner in the hospital. Can you believe there are not a lot of people there on Christmas? They all come in afterwards. Maybe too much Christmas. But that wasn't enough for me either. I wanted to go home. I wanted to sleep in my own bed. I wanted to be with my family. And then I thought about this little girl. And she is truly a blessing to me. You think about this little girl, and I thought, all right, Alana, I have to be a big girl. You said it in word. Now, in this movement, we are told that we create our own illnesses. And I do believe in some cases that's the truth. I'm not discounting that at all. And I do believe that we can heal them, that our thoughts heal, and that we create according to our thoughts. I believe that. But I have a difficult time believing that that's what happened with these little children. I really do. Mine was birth defects. I don't think I created it. But I did learn a spiritual truth from that experience. And I think that's true for all of us. I can't remember before I was born, but I do believe that we get to choose the experiences that we have for the growth that we'll experience in this lifetime. And some of us want a lot of growth, so we choose a lot more than others. And, you know, some of us maybe not so much. And the truth of the matter is, even those of us who create our illnesses are really working to heal ourselves because we don't understand necessarily how we did it. And we certainly don't want someone to come up to us and say, what were you thinking that created that for you? You know, and I don't know about you, but some of us have been guilty of doing that. And even if I know that it's true, I don't want to hear it. I want to be supported in my wholeness. And so we need to check within ourselves and make sure that that's what we are doing with people, that we are supporting them in their wholeness, because the truth of who they are is not their body. The truth of who they are is spirit, and they are always perfect in every way. They cannot be hurt or harmed. They cannot die. They are spirit. They are eternal. And sometimes we miss that mark, I do believe. Ernest Holmes tells us, in the Science of Mind book, if you cannot walk on water, get a boat. And yeah, Ernie said that. And he also said, you know, if you have an issue and you're not able to heal it, take a pill. You know, there is no reason not to do everything within your power to bring wholeness in your life, and that you are not admitting defeat if you go and see a doctor. The other thing Ernie tells us is to look for the spiritual lesson in everything that happens to us, to look for the spiritual lesson. And one of the gifts that I received is gratitude. I received gratitude. I was at physical therapy the other day, and someone said, good morning. And the guy said, it's morning. I said, oh, no, it's good. I woke up this morning, and it could have been otherwise. You know, I get to smell the air, to shiver in the cold. I get to laugh. I get to cry. I get to hurt myself. I get to have all of those things that without this physical experience, I would not be having. I am so grateful. I am so grateful to be here today. I am so grateful to see the sunrise and to see the moon. I'm so grateful to be able to sit in the darkness and watch the stars. You know, some of us are grateful we get to see the northern lights. And look, today we get to be grateful there really is snow in Alaska. There really is. And I am so grateful. And so I want to share this poem with you. And I know that I've shared it with you before, but I like it. And so please indulge me and let me read it to you one more time. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birchwood. All morning, I did the work I love. At noon, I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day just like today. But one day, I know it will be otherwise. And it's the truth, isn't it? As Colleen was saying this morning, it's so important for us to be grateful for what we have. And Ernest Holmes says, in The Science of Mind, page 434 and 435, when we constructively praise and creatively bless, life abounds with love and peace and joy. Let goodness shine forth. Let us learn to see that everyone is an evolving Christ. Let us live and think that we may retire at night in peace, knowing that no harm can come to our soul. That we may arise in the morning renewed in body and mind with a brighter outlook, a happier expectation, and a clearer joy, looking upon all with love, condemning none, and blessing even those who seek to injure us. Let us learn to be perfect, even as the divine being residing in the heart of all, overshadowing eternity, must also be perfect. And in that perfection, it is important for us to learn to live each day. Live each day, not for tomorrow, not for yesterday, but live each day and be grateful for it in this moment. It could have been otherwise, you know? And I think when you get to have that experience like I had, you truly come to appreciate life. And when you can appreciate death, you can appreciate life. You know, many of us live being afraid of dying, and so we never truly live. And so when you can come to an understanding that life is eternal, when you can come to that understanding, then you get to live each day. And I'm not saying that we should settle. I'm not saying that we should settle because of these obstacles that we encounter. Like this said, we should treat and we should move our feet and we should move forward and we should grow through those experiences and we should allow God to express itself easily and effortlessly through each of us because it's always there. It's up to us to open the little window and let it express through us. It is my understanding that every time we have a health challenge or a business challenge or a physical challenge or a relationship challenge, Spirit is telling us you haven't quite made it yet. You still have a little bit of growing to do. And isn't it nice that we get to move forward into a higher plane and each one of those little discomforts, each one of those little disconnects is like a little kick telling you, hey, keep going. You're not there yet. Keep going. You still have something to do. And isn't it important that as we do this, we can maintain our emotional health, we can maintain our physical health, and we can grow. And we can grow. And isn't that what we're here for? Practice, learn, teach, and grow. That's the job that each one of us has. And it's also important that we be gentle with ourselves. We be gentle with ourselves. You know, I spent a lot of time beating myself up for not being able to do what I thought I should be able to do. And I bet you we all do that, that we beat ourselves up and we're not very gentle with ourselves. And it's so important to be gentle and loving with yourself. Now, the title of my talk is Response or Responsibility. And it is our responsibility to respond to our challenges the best that we can with the resources that we have. It is our responsibility to choose health and to choose wholeness and to do everything within our power to maintain it. Positive living, positive affirmations, gratitude, and taking good care of your body. But not just taking good care of your body. It's so important to take good care of your attitude and your emotional health as well. Because everything that happens to us, we are one. We are not our body, our emotions, our mind, our spirit. We are all one. And we're all one with one another. So as we support and love each other, we are supporting and loving ourselves. And to honor the Christ within everyone that we meet, we need to understand that consciousness is what we are, consciousness is what we experience, and consciousness is what we meet in everyone that we meet. God's love shines through everyone. God's will for us is perfection. God's will for us is perfection. God's will for us is wholeness. God's will for us is happiness. God's will for every single one of us is to be the truth of who we are. Whole, perfect, and complete, individualized expressions of the divine, and to understand there is only one healer. And it doesn't matter what avenue it takes, there is only one healer, and that is God. And I don't care what avenue God works through. I don't care if it's the massage therapist or the chiropractor. I don't care if it's the herbalist or if it's the allopathic physician. I allow God to express any way it can to support each and every one of us on our journey. And there's nothing wrong with getting help when we have an issue. And sometimes we're too proud to do that. But we need to understand the principle of the divine is our life. It works in us. It works through us. It works as us. We are great. We are great. And we are special. And we are perfect. It works creatively through us. God has given us intelligence. He's given us the will and the ability to grow spiritually and to thrive. And so the thing to do, the thing to remember, is that we can work in cooperation with the divine. We can work in the cooperation with the divine because that power within us, it has all the answers. It has all the answers to every question. If we are open and receptive to receive them, all prayers are answered if we listen. But sometimes we get so caught up in our beating ourselves up or our woe is me story or whatever it is, we forget to stop and listen for that answer, that wholeness and that perfection. So each day, we should gratefully acknowledge that power and that presence within us. That same power that causes the stars to be in the sky and the earth to rotate around the sun, that same power is the power that moves and works through each one of us. There is nothing greater than every person in this room. You know, when we breathe in and we acknowledge our greatness, when we acknowledge that God works in us and as us, each day we get to affirm how wonderful it is to work in cooperation with Spirit, don't we? I woke up this morning and it could have been otherwise. Each day, we get to remember that we do not have an identity separate from God. We do not have an We are part and parcel of the divine. And we do have an identity separate from this body. Your body is the house that houses your soul. And the soul is part of the divine. Each day we need to know that our soul, the truth of who we are, cannot be sick, cannot be hurt, cannot be harmed in any way. It is important for us to understand that being healed and being cured are not the same thing. And sometimes we really try to equate that them together. And so when we don't get the cure that we are expecting, we think somehow we have failed. When in truth, our prayers are always answered. And all of our prayers and all of our thoughts impact us personally. They impact our physical reality. They impact our emotional being. They impact our spiritual growth. And it is our power of choice that allows us to move easily and effortlessly through these challenges that we have. It takes courage and wisdom to accept that responsibility, doesn't it? It takes courage and wisdom to accept responsibility for our thoughts and for our feelings, especially when whatever is going on doesn't seem to be too favorable at this moment. And to accept responsibility and know that God works through our lives, and not only in our health, but in all of our affairs. God works through us in our interactions with others. And sometimes, now I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's important for me to stop and not let my human self respond and allow that response to come from the divine. Because that response is a little different than if it was my human self talking. And so let us take responsibility. Let us take responsibility for our responses, and let us learn to live in perfect health. Let us learn to live in joy and in life and in gratitude, and let us learn to let go of judgment. Let us learn to be the truth of who we are, individualized expressions of the divine, and allow that power of the divine to heal our bodies, to heal our minds, to heal our emotions. And all we simply need to do is say, thank you, God. And so it is. If you would please join me in prayer. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, that holy, holy and divine presence in which we live and breathe and have our being. God, the good, omnipotent. God, the beginning and the end. There is nowhere where God is not, and I am one with that divine presence. And if that is true for me, that is true for each and every person in this room. Whole, perfect, complete. Individualized expressions of good, individualized expressions of health, individualized expressions of God. And so as I speak my word, I know that as we move through this week, we move through it with ease and grace and love and joy. I know that each encounter that we have is an encounter of God speaking to and interacting with God. I know that all of our affairs are blessed. I know that health and wholeness vibrates in every cell and fiber of our being. I know truly, truly, God is all there is, and we are it. And I give thanks. I give great thanks for the wisdom and the power and the strength of the divine. I give great thanks that God supports us each and every day in all of our affairs. I give great thanks for the health and wholeness that we share. I give great thanks knowing that each and every one of us is filled with that divine love, that divine light, and that divine joy. And I simply release my word to the working of the law that always and only says yes. Please join me in affirming, and so it is. Amen.